A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the winter 2018 issue on New Monasticism. The Heart of New Monastic Life, adapted from The New Monasticism, an Interspiritual Manifesto for Contemplative Living, edited by Rory McKenty and Adam Bucko. Published by Orbis Books. Adam Bucko and Rory McKenty are co-founders of the Foundation for New Monasticism and Interspirituality. Learn more at www.new-monastics.com. New Monasticism is not just a theoretical concept. It is an orientation in life, a commitment, that asks us to bring every aspect of our lives into a living relationship with God, with the Spirit, with one's deepest self, with all of creation. New monasticism is also a discipline, a certain ascetical way of being, that hopes to make all that we are available to the divine so that the spiritual work of transformation can happen. This kind of life requires structure and commitment to spiritual practice. It is for this reason that many fathers and mothers of the 4th century left the world and embraced a disciplined life of being with God. Without a similar type of commitment, the calling of a new monastic remains but an ephemeral dream. Beautiful, soaring, inspiring, but ultimately fleeting. With an embodiment of disciplined spiritual praxis, new monasticism becomes incarnational. What, then, does the spiritual praxis of new monastic look like? What follows is a suggested rhythm and practice for new monastic life, distilled from my own and others' experiences. Daily practice. A new monastic may start her day with a morning prayer and silent, meditative practice. These are usually modified based on one's vocation, commitments in the world, and availability. For people who live in communities, it may start as a group activity. These activities can include a morning walk, preferably in nature, spiritual reading, absorbing the morning with silent reflection, a ritual of body prayer, yogic asanas, tai chi, breath work, conscious weightlifting, or prostrations. After these types of integrating practices, a new monastic moves into silent practice. Most contemplative traditions agree that silent meditative practice is a sublime foundation for spiritual transformation. For aspiring new monastics, we recommend starting with a receptive method of meditation, such as the Christian practice of centering prayer as developed by Thomas Keating, William Menninger, and Basil Pennington. It's good to start with 20 minutes of silence twice a day, and slowly over time expand the practice to up to an hour or more for each session. Weekly, monthly, and yearly practices. In addition to these daily practices, it is also good to have a few weekly rituals and practices. Many new monastics are part of self-organizing small groups that gather once a week for prayerful silence and heartfelt conversation, at times followed by the sharing of a meal and/or ritualistic celebration. New monastics are also encouraged to incorporate extended times of practice once a week, month, and year. These could be an extended meditation day, a time of fasting and prayer, a desert weekend, or an extended retreat once per year. The goal of these extended retreats is to immerse ourselves in our practice, following the maxims of early desert fathers and mothers who said, "Enter your hermitage will teach you everything." Sacred activism, the spiritual practice of vocation. every new monastic is here to bridge the dichotomy of contemplation and action. What Andrew Harvey calls sacred activism fuses the mystic's passion for God with the activist's passion for justice, creating a third fire, which is the burning sacred heart that longs to help, preserve, and nurture every living thing. We teach new monastics to seek to discover one's calling or vocation, to develop one's unique talents and put them to use in service of compassion and justice under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is to engage in the incarnational work of building the kingdom of heaven on earth. Formal study. Formal study is important to fruitful spiritual formation, especially in these times when many spiritual seekers learn about spirituality through a series of disconnected workshops, cliched phrases, and personal tastes. It is important for each new monastic to commit to formal study. Traditionally, study took place in the form of individualized study and mentorship with a teacher. New monastics may choose to follow a traditional form of study by either entering a seminary or by committing to a new monastic training program through the Foundation for New Monasticism. These programs help formalize the process, yet also individualize training, maintaining flexibility and allowing for discernment of one's vocation. Shadow work. The shadow consists of the dark parts of our personality that have been repressed, and is one of the main culprits in preventing an integrated and mature spirituality. Understanding and working with one's shadow should be a primary practice for new monastics. There are many techniques developed to work with one's shadow, particularly dream work and psychotherapy. Without shadow work, many practitioners become victims of what John Wellwood calls spiritual bypass, where we use spiritual ideas and practices to avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. Spiritual direction. Since many new monastics follow a fairly individualized path, spiritual direction becomes crucial. We recommend contact with a spiritual director perhaps once a month, and at certain times, much more. Today, these relationships can be cultivated via Skype. A spiritual director is not primarily a teacher or a guru, per se. Rather, he or she is a spiritual companion, an anamkara, or soul friend, on the path of the heart. Spiritual directors help to locate mentees in the truth of their life and give them a dangerous permission to follow it with dedication. They also help to develop the gift of discernment. Spiritual friendship and community. There is an apocryphal story where Ananda asks the Buddha, "Master, is spiritual friendship half of the spiritual life?" The Buddha replies, "No, Ananda, friendship is the whole of the spiritual life." For the new monastic, the interdependent relationship between spiritual friendship and one's personal practice creates the container for one's spiritual growth. It is the basis of our relationship with mentors and fellow wayfarers on the path. New monastics create community. In some cases, they choose to live in communities. Sharing in contemplative prayer, sacred reading, heartfelt reflection, discernment of authenticity, friendship, and celebration, we begin to discover the divine's loving presence and action in our lives. A commitment of vows. In addition to formalizing our commitment to new monastic life, vows tap into dynamic energies of life that express themselves in ceremonial and ritualistic ways. Similar to traditional monastic training, these vows emerge in stages, with each subsequent commitment marking a turning point on one's journey. We recommend the following set of vows for new monastic life, inspired by the work of Brother Wayne Teasdale, though we also encourage an individualization of vows as well. 1. I vow to actualize and live according to my full moral and ethical capacity. 2. I vow to live in solidarity with the cosmos and all living beings. 3. I vow to live in deep nonviolence. 4. I vow to live in humility and to remember the many teachers and guides who assisted me on my spiritual path. 5. I vow to embrace a daily spiritual practice. 6. I vow to cultivate mature self-knowledge. 7. I vow to live a life of simplicity. 8. I vow to live a life of selfless service and compassionate action. 9. I vow to be a prophetic voice as I work for justice, compassion, and world transformation. The goal of the above practices is to create an integrated structure and container within which spiritual maturity can unfold and grace can descend. Once that begins to happen, the practice, the schedule, and the commitment can evolve. When we can recognize the presence of ultimate reality in our lives, our practices become modified. They change to accommodate the uniqueness of our relationship with the divine so that we may live as a direct response to the guidance revealed in our hearts. Just as there are many stages that one passes through in one's spiritual life, so also are there many stages that one grows into in one's practice.